medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're on Smart Animal Talk. That's right, you're listening to us here at All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm sitting outside today in the sunshine in the rainforest. We have summer again visiting us, so I'm very excited. One last, I was going to say kick at the cat, but you can't say that on pet radio, can you? Welcome to the show, Stacy. Nice to have you back from Pets Weekly. You're joining us again. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun coming on the show, so.
Yeah, these old sayings, another kick at the cat, raining cats and dogs, they sometimes have awful origins, don't they?
You know, they have really interesting derivations. Like, for instance, raining cats and dogs. You know where that came from?
Mm-hmm, I do, but go ahead. I'm sure most people don't.
Okay. Yeah. Well, back in the old days, back when we couldn't afford a lot of fluorine and keeping everybody warm, they ended up bringing the dogs and cats inside. And I'm going to get my legends mixed up. You tell it.
I think this one is actually a little bit different. I think raining cats and dogs refers to a certain style of roof in, you're right, it was a long, long time ago, in very primitive housing. The animals were sometimes kept upstairs. And when it rained so hard that even the cats and dogs came downstairs was, I think, what the saying was for. But maybe you're right. Maybe it's like three dog night. You know, it's so cold, you need to take three dogs into your sleeping bag. Maybe it's like that. I don't know.
Sorry about that. Yeah, my phone cut out for a minute, so I apologize. Yeah, it was actually from dogs and cats sleeping on thatched roofs. And then when it would rain, they would fall through the roof, and then, you know, it would be raining cats and dogs.
Exactly. Raining cats and dogs and gumdrops and lollipops. There's a lot of things it could be raining besides rain, but right now it's sunny here, so I'm so excited. What's new in Pets Weekly?
Oh, we got some fun things coming up. You know, I mean, we got the holiday coming up, or, well, one of many. We're coming right into the season. I was in Costco the other day, and there was nothing but snowmen and Christmas decorations. So we're talking a little bit earlier stuff, though. So we're thinking about trick-or-treat time, Halloween time. And usually animal lovers obviously hate that holiday for the most part. I mean, many of us do. I do. But you know,
a lot of dogs,
different ways
yeah.
to make it fun.
A lot of nervous dogs, a lot of nervous cats really are fed up with the fireworks. That's what goes on here. People light off fireworks at Halloween. So, but, you know, I mean, everywhere it's bad with the lights and the costumes and the traffic and the unpredictable way people are coming and going to houses and leaving doors and gates open. And there's a lot going on Halloween that's bad for pets. But add firecrackers to the mix and they're miserable. They'd like to get out of town. We actually get really busy here at Camp Good Dog because quite a few dogs in Vancouver get sent away. So they just don't have to deal with it, you know, send them to the country. But for those of you trapped in the city, you can set up a quiet room. You can keep your dog or cat well away from all the action, right? Good tags and ID ahead of time.
Absolutely.
And black cats, you got to keep your black cats in already. People do really horrible things to them this time of year. So black cats can't be outdoor cats until mid-November. Hang on to them.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, you know, we're looking at some different treats that we can share with our pets that's not candy and not anything that's going to be bad for them. And I just learned this. You may already know, but you're aware of Omaha Steaks. Have you heard of Omaha Steaks?
No.
Okay, Omaha Steaks is a huge place. They have some fantastic steaks. I mean, we love them. But you can order them and they come in fresh and everything. They now make pet treats, and they have created these really popular steak pet treats and canine cookies, and I'll tell you, the dogs love them. So that's something kind of new and different. Omaha is a really big company, and I'm glad to see them expanding out into the animal industry a little bit. on a different level as far as doing treats.
Nice.
You know, and then I was going to tell you, my dog got sick over the weekend. Of course, a long weekend, which means emergency vet, of course. But in end of the story, he's doing fine now, but we have him on 3 different types of medication. So we had to come up with some creative ideas on giving him his medication, and we found some fun things. I mean, you know all the pill pockets. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah, it's an easy way to
give
him pill
pockets, peanut butter, you know. Well, he's kind of on to all the tricks, and he's pretty much figured out how to thwart everything. I mean,
he's a pretty intelligent dog. Yeah, you know that old line where you go to a bar and the girl can tie a cherry stem with her tongue, a dog can surprisingly, they can do amazing things to get the pill out of the tree.
It's really amazing, yeah.
Like
he can go through a whole chunk of peanut butter and still get that pill out. So we had to come up with some different things to kind of trick him into taking all of his pills twice a day, which are 3 of them twice a day. And, you know, we found this place. It's called Kinn. K-I-N-N, and you create your own capsules filled with treats or foods that they're familiar with, and you make your own capsule. It's really hard to explain on the radio, but it's something you should check out, kinninc.com. And you need to check this out, Deb, because it might come in handy for you one day. It is a little work, and it's really not going to be valuable to you until you're using it for...
You know what?
Maybe you have a dog that's on a pill
Do you know what? I'm not of the stick it in the food and hope they take it like that school when I have so many dogs. For the dogs at the kennel, yeah, that's how I do it. I do it the way their owners normally do it, in a piece of cheese, in a piece of sausage, inside a pill pocket, something like that. But for my own dogs, I just open up their mouth and stick it down there. And, you know, they can't come up. And I know it's down there. I know it went down.
Yeah. And that's honestly the way I generally tend to
and
go.
Then,
but this is a really good option for people.
Like the, you know, I do it 1, 2,
right.
3. And then I let them lick whatever treat I had planned to give them. So it's more of a reward rather than an exercise. And can I trick them? Because I know I can't trick them. They can smell the pill in there. They can smell every ingredient in a spaghetti sauce. You know, they can smell the nut inside the shell. They can smell the cocaine inside the coffee. That's what they are. They're little smell machines.
That is true. Yeah, and honestly, that's the way I tend to do mine as well. But, you know, Brock's a little bit sensitive, and he thinks he's in trouble all the time to do that. So, you know, some people are just not comfortable putting their hands.
He's working it. He's got that warlord.
Totally.
Are
you kidding me? He's walking around with this really stylish e-collar now. It's a soft e-collar, and I know you've seen those, and they just work great. So, he got sent home with a plastic one, but now he's all styling and looking good in his black e-collar that's all nice and soft and stylish.
Well, we've only got 1 minute left, so check out that e-collar. Check out the kind of nicer way to give a dog a pill at petsweekly.com. And will you be back with us next week?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, have a good week. Be good to your animals, Stace. We'll talk to you again next week on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, Smart Animal Talk. Thanks, Stacey.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. all natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, your host, Deb Wolf. And today we're talking with Annie Greer. Annie's a longtime friend of All Paws Pet Talk, but she's here to talk to us about something completely different, something with canines and, well, let's find out about it. Welcome to the show, Annie.
Thanks. It's so good to speak to you again. It's been a long time.
Months and months, I think. I was a guest on one of your shows
a while back. Payback time, right? So be nice to me.
I'll be nice, of course. So you gave me the be nice command. I have no choice. For those listening who don't know, Annie Greer is also a chiropractor for animals and a radio host. But right now, I think you're going to talk to us about something completely different.
I am. A couple of years ago, I got very involved with the Southeast Guide Dogs for the Blind. And now I've gone somewhat more local to us, and it's a group called the Canine Companions for Independence. And they actually have several centers throughout the United States, and one of the largest ones is the Southeast Regional Center here in Orlando. And Canine Companions for Independence basically will provide a dog for every disability other than blindness. So people who have hearing difficulties, kids that have cerebral palsy, people who are very introverted, you know, that won't talk to anybody, they will use this dog to bring them out. So pretty much anything. It's the most amazing organization.
You know, locally we have something like that called Pacific Assistance Dog Society, and it's the same idea. People in wheelchairs, people with MS, people with autistic kids that run off, all sorts of things other than a seeing eye dog. And actually, sometimes they end up, the graduates of the program that get placed with these kids and sick people are often dogs that almost graduated as seeing eye dogs. I was going to say failures, but that's the wrong thing to say.
No,
almost.
Yes, they just challenged at the last post and needed a different way to go. So a lot of people always think that the government are providing funds for this. This particular group, Canine Companions for Independence, is totally self-supported with donations. And so obviously part of what I'm doing as well is trying to draw attention so that people can go online and see. I've just been sitting here actually waiting for you to call and watching this DVD about their graduation program, and it will make you cry, I promise you, when you go online and look at it. Now, their website address is www.cci.org. And here in the Orlando area, their big fundraising event is Saturday, October the 5th, at Rosen Shingle Creek, Orlando, and it's a big gala, a dinner, a silent auction, a live auction. You can wear casual cocktail attire. I saw that word cocktail. I thought, okay, that's me. I'm down for that. So we're just very excited to be part of this. Our veterinary clinic will now be providing the veterinary services for them because they have 65 dogs in this particular facility, and those will rotate through approximately every 3 months. So the dogs are actually born and bred in California, and then they come to Orlando.
Okay, how much training does the dog receive before it gets placed with the person in the wheelchair, for example?
Well, here's the thing. They actually need the first 18 months of their life with puppy raisers. They are desperately looking for puppy raisers, and I know people say, oh, I could never give the dog back. But when you actually go to a graduation and see that, it becomes easy, and then you get the next dog. So 18 months with a puppy raiser, and then they go to the facility, and it's roughly 6 months.
You know, when you meet a puppy raiser or puppy raiser dog, you can tell everything about this dog is ready to work. They're not like the normal pet. So giving them up, yeah, you love them. You're attached to them. They do lick and kiss you and greet you and all that. But the whole time you have them, you know they're destined for a job. And you know that's what they're meant to do. It's easy to give them up, really. And, wow, is it ever exciting to be able to have a dog that's that attentive, that responsive, and able to go anywhere? Try that for a couple years.
Yes. So, I mean, anybody that thinks they can do that, and the requirements are really not that bad. They do ask that there's no other puppies in the house under the age of one, just for the distraction purposes. And then, of course, they have classes they have to go to. There's certain things they don't want you to teach. For instance, retrieving. They do not want you to do any retrieving with the dog, because that's actually one of the primary tasks, is to pick up things for the owner, and they have their specific way of doing that. So, other than that, you're responsible. They ask you to feed a certain food. You know, it's really, I think, a wonderful opportunity for someone who wants to give back but also have a beautiful dog in the house.
You know, sometimes I think about the puppies I see here, and in some cases it would be very, very hard to have a puppy. Like my standard poodle puppies, they were born June 1st. Some of them are already retrieving, and you don't even have to throw it. If something just touches your foot, they'll pick it up and bring it to you. You know, like some retrievers, it's pretty bread in the bone, wouldn't you say?
And I did ask her about that. Actually, what's going to happen within this month, I will be going to the facility. I will be put in a wheelchair, and I will be experiencing
nice.
What it's going to be like for someone who has disabilities that needs one of these dogs. What do they go through?
You know, I once did that blindfolded with a seeing eye dog.
And yes, I did too. And
it wasn't
pretty,
that
I can
easy.
Tell you.
No, you have to, like, I didn't realize how hard the person has to be able to interpret what the dog's telling them. I didn't realize that till I tried that.
I fell down a lot.
It
was very overwhelming for me, and of course you come away with this incredible feeling of, wow, look what these dogs do. I was actually
and
meant to
person,
stay a weekend,
though,
but I couldn't handle
you know?
It.
It's quite a partnership, though. It's not just one way. Like, before I did that, I really respected the dogs. But after I did it, I kind of understood more how the person is also in on the bargain here.
It's two-way communication. You know, the important thing is to realize if you see one of these dogs out in public, and they're usually easily identifiable by the little vests they wear, is do not go up and stroke the puppy. Or grab the puppy, always ask, because those dogs are not allowed to respond or come up and sniff you or do anything else until they're given the command release. And that's one of the hardest parts that the owners or the handlers and trainers go through is to try and persuade the general public this is not a cute dog. This is a working dog.
Especially when they're little and they're so, so cute. Yeah, and you know, part of the bonus of having these dogs is it brings the people out of isolation. But even when you see a dog in its final placement working with someone, you're supposed to ask the person, may I pet your dog? Then they know you're there, for one thing. You know, otherwise it's kind of freaks them out a bit if they can't see. So it's a good idea to talk to the person, may I pet your dog? Some people will welcome it, but sometimes they're in a hurry. The dog, you know, it's too busy, it's too hectic. Respect that too, right?
Exactly. So, again, if anybody wants to learn more, and they have such great packets of information and DVDs and just stories that will touch your heart, you cannot come away from this website without feeling touched, unless, I guess, you just probably need a dog yourself to help you get through that. The website, again, is www.cci.org, and those are the letters, cci.org. So we're very, very happy to be involved with this. We're very lucky to have a facility that's probably 10 miles away from us. And each center, such as the one here in Orlando, actually serves 7 states, you know, the Alabama and the kind of surrounding states. Then you've got one in New York, one in Ohio, one in Colorado Springs, and two in you get two in California. How about that?
Well, Annie, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about this. We have to go to break now, everybody listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We've been talking to Annie Greer. She gave you the websites. Go check it out. It's well worth it. And stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Thanks, Annie.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I really do.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS, on the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we have New Hampshire. New Hampshire, welcome to the show, New Hampshire. So nice to have you. I understand you're listening to us for the very first time. Concord, Manchester, New Hampshire. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk Radio. You are in good company. And today we have Karen from Pet of the Day coming back again to delight us. Karen, you sent me all these good topics, and I usually pick one or two, but I picked them all today, Karen.
That's good. And, you know, I will correct you just a little bit because I'm right outside of Boston, so I know that it's really pronounced Concord, New Hampshire.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Is that how you pronounce it with a Canadian accent, too? Because I don't want to be misleading people here, you know. I guess I should be saying A every so often just so people realize that I'm far away. Forgive me. Okay. So I do really well on the French names, though. Okay. So invisible fencing. Why is invisible fencing maybe not helping with dogs who chase squirrels? What's going on with that?
You know, you really have to take into account your dog's temperament, your dog's prey drive, and you have to make sure the batteries in the invisible fence collar are functional. There was a border collie in Iowa who ended up, quote unquote, lost because the battery had run down in his collar. He saw a squirrel. He chased the squirrel literally right up a tree in a neighbor's yard. So, of course, because the invisible fence didn't, you know, give him any signal that he was going through it. And besides, the squirrel was way more important than any weak signal it might have given him. Chased it up a tree and got stuck because dogs really aren't equipped to climb down trees very well.
Well, you know, I had a dog, a wolf cross that I had out here. And so I'm north of Seattle. We have huge, huge trees here. And one time I took him on a trip back to Toronto and he chased a squirrel. And they have really short little trees there. And he ran right up the tree right after the squirrel. Squirrel ran down and he killed it. It was terrible. There were all these children watching. Oh, and I'm thinking to myself, well, he can't kill the squirrels at home. What's with these stupid squirrels? Well, I guess they never met a wolf from the West Coast. But the invisible fence also, you know, there is a training to it. You teach your dog really early that it's supposed to find it unpleasant to cross that border, and it's with sound and with a sensation, which is not nice. But, yeah, if you've got a dog that just loses his head completely when he sees a bird flying overhead or just completely legs on, brain off, he might fly through it. And then the shock's over, and he's on the other side. So,
yeah. Yeah, you have to, you know, it's not going to work for every dog. I know that the first dog I grew up with, her name was Sheba. Best dog in the whole wide world, bar none, and no one can ever convince me otherwise.
That's all
but
right.
She had a really strong prey drive. She would have gone right through anything to get that woodchuck or squirrel, or there were no woodchucks in our area for up to 10 years after she passed because she just killed them all.
Yes, I understand. I totally get it. And there's certain dogs that are really sensitive to pain and other ones who couldn't really care less. I mean, there are dogs who play so hard they'll scrape their face open chasing a soccer ball on cement, you know, and not care. I've seen a Doberman cut herself on the ice and not want to come in and just bleeding paws and, you know, everybody's trying to catch this dog and it's having a good time. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so then you sent me one about a puppy for cheetahs. Okay, what's like snack time at the zoo? I mean, come on. Puppy for cheetahs? What's going on there?
No. These are baby cheetahs that are new to the Dallas Zoo. And so as they're still trying to figure things out, you know, they're babies, they put in a Labrador puppy of about the same age, and they're similar sizes now. And the Labrador puppy will be in charge and will keep the cheetah cubs calmer.
Wow. Well, but what about their claws? Like if they play like they play with each other with the lab, they're going to slice him.
Well, he's got teeth.
He has teeth, but he does not have those claws. Have they filed their claws? Like what are they? That just doesn't sound very safe to me.
They've actually done this at other zoos. And the cubs tend to see the puppy as like the leader of the group. So they will attack each other with the claws, but not the puppy with the claws because he's the boss.
Oh, very interesting. And they pick a lab. You'd think they'd pick, you know, Dogo Argentino Mastiff with rolls and rolls of neck ring. You know, seriously,
No. They said it has to be a particular temperament of puppy. It has to be a very calm, very relaxed puppy.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it has to be a go-with-the-flow jogger. It's not going to like being put in a cheetah cage.
Yeah.
That's quite the stretch for most puppies.
And apparently they've done this at other zoos and they grow up together and they somehow learn more about being good cheetahs from a lab puppy than they would from human trainers.
Wow, that's amazing. I've seen all kinds of weird combinations we all have on the internet where you see, you know, a monkey and a kitten or a donkey and an armadillo. Just weird things that just become friendly and they seem to be spiritual friends of some kind, even though their species don't match. There was one recently where a teenage boy was befriended by this deer. And it was really funny. He finally had to get in a car to get away from it. It wasn't humping him or anything. It was just hanging out. on him, beside him, with him, you know.
You are now my human.
Yes, we are together for life. We are married. So what will they see if they go on Dog of the Day today?
If they go on dogoftheday.com today, they will see an absolutely, absolutely beautiful German Shepherd. And his name is... I want to say his name is Buddy. It isn't. It's Bullet. But he's got such a big grin. And he's kind of got the opposite coloring. My very first dog, Sheba, that I told you about was a black German Shepherd with tan spots for eyebrows. Well, Bullet is a tannish, goldish German Shepherd with black spots for eyebrows.
Oh, he sounds adorable. Well, we had a little nice moment. Now you're going to tell me about the last story you sent me. Okay, I'm ready for it. It doesn't sound like a very good story. What is this item about parrots? Addicted parrots? Drug addicted parrots? How does a parrot get drug addicted?
Well, the same way a baby would get drug addicted, by having drug addicted parents or drug addicted owners and having the smoke around or having the drugs around. And people, you know, if they're not in their right mind, they will give the drugs to the bird to, quote unquote, calm it down or to have it party with them. And, of course, these are people who are not in their right minds. And the birds get addicted to these substances just as any human will. And it causes all sorts of behavioral problems. And, of course, this woman runs a sanctuary and specializes in helping these drug-addicted parrots and has special collars because they'll pluck their own feathers and she has to detox them, just like a human.
Well, what's the drug? Like, Is it all different drugs? What drug is this that parents would?
It's all different drugs. It's anything from pot to meth to heroin.
Oh my God. This seems crazy. Oh my gosh. People, don't give your dogs and cats and parrots drugs. I mean, come on, really. It may look like they're having a good time, but they're not. I remember the monkeys. There used to be monkeys at the zoo when I worked at one that were addicted to cigarettes from people dropping butts, you know, and they get addicted just like people. It's so sad. Well, I'd love to hear more on the happy side because they're getting rescued, right? And that's what you'll find.
They are. She is rescuing them, rehabilitating them, and maybe one of these days one of them will be adopted and be pet of the day.
Yes. Sounds good to me. Okay, Karen, well, until next time. From Smart Animal Talk and All Paws Pet Talk Radio. That's Karen over there, Pet of the Day, Dog of the Day, Cat of the Day.com. Thanks for coming again, Karen.
Great to be here. Bye bye.
Okay, stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Dr. Carol.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsnsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We've got Dr. Carol again. She's got stuff for me. I got stuff for her. Who's going to go first, Dr. Carol?
Well, you're the host, Deb, so Smart Animal Talk us right into the first topic.
I have a question from a listener. Their cat, they don't know how he did it. They're wondering if you know. I'm not sure how you would know. You would need a crystal ball, but he's burnt or cut or somehow is missing half of his whiskers. And they want to know what happened and how fast will they grow back?
Well, normally cats lose a few whiskers if they rub by something warm, like, you know, a heater or a furnace or whatever he did, his whiskers got zapped. So if somebody didn't cut them or trim them, then chances are he got too close to something or something got a little bit too warm. But whiskers are just hair. And they will grow back at a similar rate to normal hair growth.
Is he going to get stuck in things now? Because I know they use their whiskers to see if they can fit through a place. And he's missing them on one side of his face. So is he going to try to fit through things and get stuck?
Well, has he been doing that?
I don't know. They're not on the lot. I wish they were. They did send a picture, though, and he looks ridiculous.
Well, my guess is the cat will be able to navigate just fine because in addition to his whiskers, he's got his eyes and his ears and all the normal senses that kitties have. So I would just love my cat and not worry about a thing. The whiskers will regrow.
Okay, so now your turn.
Well, have you heard about having your dog neutered without surgery?
No.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a new procedure. Male dogs actually keep their testicles but are sterile. And what they do is they get an injection, one injection, which is said to be painless, into each testicle. And within 30 days, the dogs are sterile. But the beauty of the situation is that you don't need anesthesia. There's no actual surgery or downtime, so to speak. The cost is tremendously reduced. And what's interesting about this procedure, they inject a solution of zinc gluconate, which is actually branded under Zuterin. And it's made by ARC Sciences. And what they say is that they've already done about 3,000 dogs over the last 2 years. The FDA just approved it last August. They hope to have it on the market either the end of this year or, you know, early next year, available to, you know, a lot of these low-cost spay-neuter clinics as well as, you know, regular clinics. But the beauty of it is that even though the dog is sterile and consequently can't, you know, get a female dog pregnant, there's a small amount of the male hormone testosterone that still remains and circulates within the body, which is great because other than sexual reproduction, the male sex hormone, in this case testosterone, is so vital for the health and wellness, you know, of your muscles, your bones, your joint, your heart, and your brain. So right now, this procedure has been only FDA approved for puppies from 3 to 10 months old. But I think in a little bit of time, they'll find a way to make that situation available to intact male dogs of all ages, which I think is a pretty exciting thing to think about.
Yeah, exciting thing to think about. But every man listening is now crouched on the floor, covering himself, thinking, what did she mean, painless way to inject into the testicles?
Well, yeah, that's the men tend to flinch a little bit at the thought of taking a needle without anesthesia and injecting it directly into the testicle.
Uh-huh.
The dogs don't complain as much, but the owners get a little bit nervous. So a lot of these dogs, they just give them a little sedative, you know, like a little Valium or, you know, but not a procedure.
They should give the owner the Valium. That's funny. I've seen dogs with fake balls because the owner was so attached to the look. The dog had cancer or some other reason. They had to remove them and they got fake balls, big weird looking fake balls.
That's the other thing about this procedure is that the cosmetic or external appearance of the dog, the testicles, although they shrink a little bit and they get a little bit more firm, they remain right there within the scrotal sac. So the nudicles, which are to a dog's testicle as a breast implant is to a woman's breast, which are available in all kinds of different sizes, are no longer needed for dogs that get this procedure, the chemical or the non-surgical dog neutering.
Okay, so how is this? I'm thinking two things. Behaviorally, when you have an aggressive dog, a dog who wanders, and you neuter him, he gets way easier to manage. Dogs who bite are a lot more likely to be intact males than anything else, statistically. So how does this kind of sterilization affect the way they behave, or does it?
Well, you know, that's a great point, because the thing about, quite honestly, the spaying and neutering dogs prior, at least in the published research, to age 6, is responsible for a lot of these behavioral issues. So this procedure is exciting because you know, you have permanent sterility within 30 days in about the same amount of time. Things like, you know, bad behavior, aggression, urine marking, et cetera, you know, greatly decline. And as I said earlier,
What about fighting? Aggression. Yeah, you said aggression. So
right.
That gets less. So there's less battles over territory.
Right.
And they don't smell offensive to the males of another area, so they're not getting attacked. That's
right.
A problem, right? You can have a really sweet, intact male. It's like he's got a bullseye on his head everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
So, and
That's exactly right. And the thing about this is, my guess as a veterinarian is that because it's now FDA approved and they've got 3,000 puppies under their belt, they will find a way or tweak whatever is needed to make this available to older intact male dogs.
I also wonder if this is going to affect the show dog world, because you could, for whatever reason, show a dog that isn't, I mean, you could fake it, right? You could enter a dog as if he's a stud and he's not.
You know, Deb, that's a great question. Certainly not something that a reputable breeder would do. But
no.
I suppose it obviously is something that someone a little more disreputable could potentially consider.
I want to ask you, are they going to make it for men?
Are they going to make it for men? You know, that's a great point, because a lot of men might benefit from a situation like this. And again, that's something that I don't honestly know. But my guess is when they start these trials, as they have in this case, you know, on the little puppies and the animals, generally what's right around the corner is the similar therapy for the human. So, again, only time will tell. But I think that it's an exciting step in the right direction as far as neutering, avoiding surgery, avoiding anesthesia, avoiding the risk of potentially killing the pet needlessly. Having a low level of the testosterone hormone remain circulating, but get rid of all the bad behavioral issues. I think it's a home run, and I hope that as time progresses, not only will something like this be available for older dogs.
Dr. Carol, we're running out of time.
We will have to continue this after our upcoming station break.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I really do.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 national nutrition awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Well, at least the women are back with us. We've been talking about non-surgical neutering, and I don't know how much of our male audience is still here, Dr. Carol.
Well, the funny thing about that is that our audio engineer, actually had a serious flinch, and we almost lost him. And again, I think he might have gone to check his personal scrotum. But there are no nerve endings in the testicles, gentlemen. Consequently, although you might feel a little bit of pressure, there is no actual pain.
Oh, it's all in their heads? Really?
It's all in their – now, before you start – worried about who's going to inject what. A couple of things. Veterinarians undergo 5 hours of training before they're approved to administer the drug.
Okay. No, I don't think people are worrying about it in a doggy context. I think they're more thinking about it in a dating context.
Honey,
how much do you love me? That's going to change those conversations completely.
Well, that's exactly it. Now, you know, dogs that have been chemically neutered, you asked me a question earlier about sneaking them into a dog show and misrepresenting their true gender. Dogs that have undergone this chemical neutering procedure, they wear a special green tag on their collar, and in the groin area, they are tattooed with a green letter Z for zebra. The information can also be included on microchips, but we already know microchips have a big cancer risk. So all you pet lovers
out there.
You know
what? It should have been E for eunuch. Why are they doing Z for zebra?
Now, there you go. And I think that that's something we can address directly with ARC Sciences and say, hey, why don't we think of a different letter to identify these chemically neutered dogs and potentially individuals.
It's amazing what they can come up with. I know they've had a shot for female dogs for a long time that would postpone one or two heats. And you could, you know, give it to a dog you were planning on breeding but didn't want to breed yet. But
exactly.
It seemed to have weight gain problems and personality. It did affect behavior, to me at least, it seemed anecdotally from the owners I knew who did it. I never did it. It did seem to cause dogs to gain weight and be food aggressive. But I don't know if that's just those particular animals I knew or if that was a problem with it. Was it called Demerol? I think it was. Or maybe that's the human version. It's for humans, too.
Well, they have a variety of products out there, you know, to prevent, you know, to stop a pregnancy in a dog as they do in a human, you know, and various products are used. The big risk with that is that the uterus can actually get ejected sort of, you know, through the vagina and out of the body, which, you know, is obviously a serious emergency.
Is that called prolapse? Is that when it's actually hanging out of the body? That's horrible.
You know, that's like a life or death kind of situation. But they have been testing oral contraceptives in various populations of these feral cats. But they haven't found one that's 100% effective yet. But they're working on it. So I would think that in no time at all, having to worry about anesthesia and surgery for spays and neuters will soon become a thing of the past. And I think that that's pretty exciting news.
That's pretty amazing. Okay, sometimes I see a sign and it'll say laser, all new laser, and pain-free. That was sort of the last breakthrough, right? And everyone started using lasers instead of scalpels to do certain procedures. It's not pain-free, though, is it?
Well, you know, that's a great point because at one point, just again, as a veterinarian, I started getting all kinds of phone calls for people that wanted their cats declawed, but they specifically wanted a laser declaw. And I think it's important for people to understand that it's just a different way to cut a piece of tissue. One is with a knife and one is with the pressure and the heat, if you will, of a laser. They both accomplish the same thing. One is a slightly newer technology. With respect to a declaw, is there any difference in the aftercare or what the cat goes through? Certainly not. It comes down to the skill of the individual using the knife or using the laser. So, you know, remember, lasers create heat, and they've got all kinds of lasers that do all kinds of things from, you know, fixing a little wrinkle on your face to you know, declawing your cat. Many of these lasers today are, you know, used for bumps and arthritis and all kinds of little things like that. But really all it is, it is almost like a glorified heating pad. It's something which produces heat to a certain point of the body. And heat creates inflammation, And what does that do? It brings blood with all the good things blood carries, the essential nutrients that our bodies need to heal with it. So that's really the bottom line. Laser is a source of heat, and heat creates swelling and inflammation, which brings blood, which brings nutrients, and ideally helps the area to heal. So it's important for people to be clear on that, because it does get confusing, especially with all the things that we're hearing about laser this and laser that.
I have one more question from you from a listener, but before I ask you that, do you want to give out your contact numbers just in case we run out of time?
Absolutely. I am an integrative veterinarian, which means I'm a traditionally trained Ohio State grad who then took an extra 5 years of training in natural alternative therapies. But I'm right here in Sugar Falls, Ohio, about 30 minutes from Cleveland. Our toll-free phone is 1-866-DR-CAROL. That's 372-2765. We welcome pet questions and offer pet health consultations for dogs and cats. You can visit us online at carolonpets.com.
Okay, so this is kind of an interesting question. The lady who sent it distills oils, things like lavender oil and all sorts of things from her garden, and she grows catnip, and she heard us talking about catnip, and she wants to know, is there any downside to making catnip oil? Now, I was wondering, if you put catnip oil on something, if it was too potent, the cat might eat something it wouldn't otherwise eat, like upholstery. Like, I was sort of thinking this through. What could be the downside? I don't know, though. How do you know if it's too strong, too much? Is there a downside, Dr. Carol?
You know, there is a downside. These basically, you could call it a distilled oil. Most people would understand it as an essential oil, just terminology. Cats and essential oils in general, you got to be careful because, again, they can be very toxic. Catnip is great for kitties. Kitties normally sleep 18 hours a day. You know, it gets them up. It gets them going. They get a little more playful. You know, they kind of get a little bit high, if you will. So using catnip, you know, two or three times a week, rubbing on a few of your cat's favorite toys, you know, on, you know, the kitty's perch to instill exercise is wonderful. Again, more is not always necessarily better. I would be very careful with that oil because it's concentrated, which means that it's much more potent, kind of like smoking marijuana versus hash oil. There is a great difference, if you will, in the potency of one versus the other. I would think that it would be similar with catnip, the herb, versus concentrated distilled catnip, the oil. Again, I cannot answer the question from direct experience.
It's a tough one.
But I would say to err on the side of conservativity and caution.
Yeah, and try a tiny bit. Always try.
Yeah.
A cat's such a small little animal. It's like a baby. So you really got to watch your doses. Okay, well, we've actually run out of time, Dr. Carol. We only have a few seconds left from Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio this week. We have New Hampshire joining us for the first time ever. Do you want to say hi, Dr. Carol?
Well, welcome, New Hampshire.
There you go. An official welcome from our veterinarian who will answer your questions if you send them to us at All Paws Pet Talk. Send us your questions, Market, Deb Wolf, or Dr. Carol, and we'll give you your answers on air. We'll even try to get a hold of you so you could talk live with us. Right, Dr. Carol? You like people, don't you?
Absolutely. And next week we're going to tell you a little about President Obama and what he has to say about breed-specific legislation.
Oh, interesting. I remember
yes.
When he was trying to decide what kind of dog to get, and should it be a golden doodle, or should it be this, or should it be that, and one of his daughters had an allergy, and then a Kennedy produced a dog for him. Oh, what could be better, right?
Well,
it was
there
very
you
funny.
Go. Well, apparently President Obama added a second little four-legged pooch, another Portuguese water dog named Sonny, and apparently his love for pets is quite strong, and he's got some serious words to share with America about breed-specific legislation.
Next week on All Paws Pet Talk, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.